She's here.
Oh,
there
great.
She is.
Yeah. Hi, Maya. Laura, are you ready for me to start?
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is the Historic Landmarks Commission meeting for May 18th, 2020. Please note the commission hearing room at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, room 2500B, is closed to the public due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Under Portland City Code and state law, the Landmarks Commission is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the commission are attending remotely by video and teleconference. Through required public notice, the public is invited to also participate remotely and can provide testimony during today's hearing. The commission is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote social distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, flexibility, and understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the city's business. I'd like now to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff.
Hillary Adam.
The members of the commission here today are
Derek Spears,
Maya Fody,
Annie Mahoney,
Andrew Smith,
and I'm Kristen Miner. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction in historic districts or remodeling of historic structures. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. I believe our agenda today has first items of interest, and then we go into a briefing, followed by a type 2 appeal, and then finally a type 3 land use case. I'll be trying to hew pretty closely to the start times of those as printed in the agenda. And so to start us off, we have items of interest. And Hillary, do you want to lead us through those?
Sure. Thank you, Hillary Adam, BDS. I have three things that we could talk about. We touched on them each last week, and I was trying to do a little bit more research so I could bring you more information this week. The first real quick is just state of the city. It's this Wednesday morning, 9:45, via Zoom with City Council. We're scheduled for an hour. Kristen and I, but mostly Kristen, have been working on the PowerPoint, and I will be getting more comments on that hopefully later today. But it's pretty compact and short, just like we talked about last week, changing our messaging just in terms of what's going on in the world. We do have now 4 invited guests. Brian Emmerich from Emmerich Architects, Paul Schwer from PAE, and Kim Moreland from Oregon Black Pioneers, and Loom Acklemore, who is the president of the Billy Webb Elks Lodge. So we got all 4 of those people to graciously give us a couple of minutes of their time on Wednesday morning, and I think their testimony will be really interesting based on some discussions I've had with them and that Brandon has as well. So that's exciting. It'll be good to finally get that done since we were supposed to have that about 2 months ago. And then I also was going to talk to you a little bit about Central City 2035. We did confirm that it's the hearing for the revised findings is going to be May 28th at 2 p.m. It's not listed on the city council agenda, but there is information on the BPS website that I just found. And so I was looking through that, and it's basically the same, and they're just updating the findings. It's basically the same as what was approved a couple of years ago. And so you guys can decide if you wanna provide new testimony on that. I don't have the findings language yet. Hopefully we'll be able to see that on Thursday. So I can't speak to what that actually says. And then I was gonna talk to you a little bit about RIP. I went through the short link that I sent you and a little bit through the long link. And there are some technical amendments that they're making. A good chunk of the long packet were technical amendments. They have some amendments related to HB 2001. And that was the House Bill 2001 that required allowances for duplexes on any lots that where single dwelling units are allowed. And then there are also amendments in response to Senate Bill 534. And that requires that cities allow at least one dwelling unit on pre-existing platted lots. Those I don't think would impact your interests too much. The two biggest things I saw were there is an additional deeper affordability bonus that I believe Kristen and Annie talked about maybe getting some testimony together, working on some testimony together, so we can talk about that more in depth. But there's a potential now, if you are providing 50% affordable units at 60% MFI for 99 years rentals, or 50% and 80% MFI for 10 years for ownership units, you could build up to potentially 6 units, up to a 1.2 FAR and up to a 35-foot height limit in R7 and R5, and I believe R2.5 zones. So that that's something you might be interested in just because of the scale. There was commentary in there that said that it's unlikely that that is going to be utilized a lot just because it would require different funding sources, but it would make those types of developments more competitive for those properties. The other one was a historic resource demolition disincentive, and it would make RIP consistent with the language in Better Housing by Design. And this would limit development options on sites where a historic resource has been demolished in the last 10 years to a house plus an ADU or a duplex. So if a historic resource was demolished, and that would include a contributing resource in a conservation district, they would not be allowed to replace it with triplex or fourplex. So those are sort of the two biggest things that I thought that you might be interested in discussing as a group, and then maybe providing testimony on.
Maybe I'll start in with the RIP. Commissioner Mahoney, I know you and I had said we would work on this a little bit, and I certainly have not done anything yet. Can you remind us, for one thing, Hillary, when testimony is due? Or is it just the day of the hearing?
So they are taking testimony on June 3rd, but I believe that they will have, you cannot submit testimony up until a week after that, so the 10th. And you do have hearings on June 1st and June 8th. So we have time to discuss.
Okay. I know we have discussed the historic resource disincentive before, and you know, it's. I think this amendment seems to make a lot of sense in terms of just trying not to give developers a reason to tear those down in the first place. I mean, obviously, in some ways, you know, if you're going to tear something down, we would hope that a fair number of units replace it, but you know, if we're trying to get them not to tear it down in the first place, this seems like a pretty, a pretty simple disincentive to do that. So I think that's definitely worth hitting hard. And furthermore, it does, as you pointed out, Hillary, match the what's in the BHPD that already got approved. I do want to spend a little time reviewing what the deeper affordability bonus would get us. You know, six units definitely worries me. You know, it's a lot in single family districts. So I think we could sort of look back at what we wrote before and probably get something fairly similar, just to go ahead and send in. The other thing for Central City 2035, I don't know if anyone read the whole sort of previous history of all those letters that we had submitted before, but particularly the one about the spot zone site was pretty scathing. I think it's a good letter. You know, I think we could almost just resubmit it again if we're still, you know, feeling the rage, or we could go ahead and make a shorter version of that. I mean, all the issues, I think, are laid out really clearly in that. It's just a long letter. So if anyone would like to, I definitely would be happy to testify, but I would love it if somebody would, you know, take on sort of writing something for the record as well on that.
This is Hillary, real quick. I would just recommend, after looking at the letters for both of these legislative projects, considering that we're at the very end now, and these are pretty limited topics that you probably want to address, especially with the Central City 2035. The shorter letter, the more digestible it would be, more impactful.
I appreciate that. Okay. And so again, Hillary, on in terms of timing on that, so the hearing is on May 28th, and do we need to get something in, you know, if we want to submit something in writing, when does that have to be in?
Let me look that up real quick.
Okay. And we're missing a couple of commissioners today, but if any of you has a strong desire to kind of, you know, go ahead and just focus in on, you know, primarily that issue in the new Chinatown, Japantown, and the heights there, I would love to have somebody volunteer for that task.
This is Hillary. It looks like if you are going to provide testimony on Central City 2035, that should be submitted by May 28th.
Oh, great.
Yeah. They will have a work session and vote on the amended findings on June 24th, but I don't see any date after May 28th that speaks to acceptance of testimony.
Okay. And they and their work session probably won't have any public testimony then?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So May 28th.
This is Hillary. If that changes, I will definitely let you all know via email.
Okay. Okay, well, think about it. Look at your, you know, look at your workload and let me know. Or Hillary, obviously. So, and then if anyone has anything else to add about either one of these, you know, the Central City 2035 or the RIP, you know, what we should really be kind of falling on our sword about.
This is Hillary. I have some comments.
Great.
About that. Just looking at your RIP letters, you were consistently supportive of added density, but you mostly spoke to concerns about developments that were out of scale with the neighboring context. And so, you know, whether something has six units or two units, it could look the same outside generally, but because the code language speaks to allowing up to six units, they're providing additional floor area for those units, and that could there are graphics that show that it would potentially increase the size of the building. It certainly increases the allowance. So I would just remind you that in all your previous comments, it wasn't number of units, it was just scale that you expressed concerns about.
Absolutely. Anything else that you want to hit? Okay. I mean, I do think both of these are, you know, we are definitely focused in on just a few small issues. But it's important for us to make our voices heard. You know, this is, city council is changing and there's an election coming up and, you know, there might even be a new city council member soon. So the more, you know, the more coherent and clear we can make our messaging, you know, the better chance we might have to sway somebody. So. Okay. Any other issues that we want to discuss right now for items of interest?
This is Hillary. I would just remind everybody that we are offering closed captioning, so it's very helpful if you state your name before you speak. I think we touched on that last week, but I have a hard time remembering, so I'm saying it out loud in part to remind myself, but I know your voices, but not everybody listening does. And we also talked about just when our camera should be on or off. I think, you know, this is going to be a long meeting. Our future meetings are going to be long, and we don't want to be too tired sitting in the same spot. So, you know, I think it's appropriate if somebody is presenting to you and you're taking that information in, go ahead and turn off your cameras if you want. It will also help us focus on what is being presented to us. If you need to step away and do something or take a call, that you like any time that you would leave the hearings room in general, go ahead, turn your camera and your mic off, and then come back. And then when it is appropriate for your camera to be on, especially as if you are providing advice to somebody so that we can see your faces when you're doing that. And then with that, we can start with the second item.